Hello everyone, welcome to a special and hopefully especially short episode of J-Talk Extra Time. I'm one of your regular hosts, John Steele. Unfortunately, Stuart Smith, my regular partner in crime, is busy with other things this week, so he's not available to join me. That means you're stuck with me talking to myself, probably going slightly mad. Hopefully about 10 or 15 minutes. We just wanted to make sure that listeners had something to keep them going before we can get back together for a regular pod. Luckily, Stuart's busy time coincides with a pretty quiet week in the J League. I know the big kickoff is coming up in just under a week now, as I'm speaking. But there are a few things to talk about, I think. Principally some relatively high-profile pre-season games from last weekend, and one or two other mini talking points that should get me through the next 9 or 10 minutes. So yeah, bear with me, and normal service on the pod will be resumed as soon as possible. I should mention I'm going to try and do this all in one take as well, so any mistakes or earthquakes or me tripping over cables will probably stay in. So yeah, after the madness of the Fuji Xerox Super Cup last Saturday, and probably a penalty shootout that will never be topped in terms of drama or incompetence, there are some high-profile-ish pre-season friendlies for J2 teams the following day. That's Sunday, the 9th of February. I think we'll talk first about Almia Ardija's game. Yeah, they had a kind of off-the-wall pre-season encounter with a pretty massive team from Uruguay, Nacional, or Club Nacional de Football, I think, to give them their full name. So yeah, this Uruguayan giant rocked up at the NAC 5 stadium in Omia, and by all accounts, Omia actually played pretty well and looked good, eventually succumbing to just a 1-0 defeat against their very illustrious opponents. I don't think the pitch was in the best condition, NAC 5, just looking at the highlights that I saw on YouTube of this game. But yeah, it didn't seem to bother either side too much, and it didn't bother the Omia fans, who turned out in good numbers, I think about 7,400 or so inside the stadium. So perhaps we can anticipate that there'll be more of these Saitama City Cup games in pre-seasons to come. And yeah, friend of the pod, Lost in Football Japan, was at the game. So if you want a sort of fan's eye video package, if you just follow him on Twitter at LIF Japan, you can see that video that he's made and tweeted out. There are also the official highlights from Omia's YouTube channel are pretty good too, of that game. So yeah, defeat for Omia, but I don't think any disgrace. I think fans would probably have gone away from that one pretty optimistic about the big kickoff that's coming up in a few days' time. I think another game we should talk about is the most high-profile friendly game, I suppose, of the entire pre-season, which was in Kyoto. That's because Kyoto Sanga opened their brand spanking new Sanga Stadium. I think the official name is Sanga Stadium by Kyocera now. Absolutely fantastic looking arena, and you can even see you could see snow-capped mountains in the background as you watch the game on TV, which was also good. And the locals, the Kyoto public, I think responded pretty well. 17,938 was the attendance for this game, so I'm not actually sure about the capacity, but I think all the tickets were sold. All the tickets that were available for this game were sold, so that's a pretty good effort. And it looked like a very atmospheric game. They played against Seretse Osaka, and I think fans were treated to a pretty exciting game. Seretse eventually winning 3-2. There was even sort of at various stages of the game kind of mini snowstorm, nothing too heavy, but I think it all added to the occasion. This game was actually live streamed on, I think, both Kyoto and Seretse's official websites and YouTube as well, and the archive video, all sort of 2.5 hours, is still freely available, and it's a really well done, well produced package. I think it would put a lot of kind of bigger teams in bigger leagues to shame, really. So that's definitely worth checking out if you have 2.5 hours free, or you could do what I did and just scrub through and see the goals. On that point, Seretso's Tatsuhiro Sakamoto has the honour of being the first ever goal scorer at the new Sanga Stadium. His cross sort of evaded everyone and crept in at the far post in about the 12th minute. Yoshihiro Shoji scored Sanga's first ever goal at the new ground to make it 1-1. I know Stuart will be very happy about that because he never stops going on about Shoji, but don't tell him I said so. But in the end it was Seretsu came out on top. Peter Utaka did score right at the end of the game, I think virtually the last kick, so he's off the mark in Sanga colours, which again, probably different sense of occasion to the Omiya game, but similar story in the sense that the home side lost against a superior opponent, but I think in both cases played well enough to give fans plenty of heart and optimism for the J2 season ahead. We shouldn't move on without mentioning I think in some of the photos from the game, I'm not sure about the video pictures, but definitely in photos, somebody or some group of people in the Kyoto end had a banner with like the kind of Nazi stormtrooper skull motif. I think that there's been some back and forth about whether the person who made the flag and was waving the flag kind of was aware of the Nazi connotations involved or knew about them and thought it was cool. I think Kyoto have made a statement about this. It's not something that has pleased everybody, I don't think, but I think the fan in question, the owner of the banner, I guess, has been spoken to, and it won't be appearing at any Kyoto games in the future, which I think is probably the best outcome that we can hope for. But it's sad that this kind of thing seems to be still being a problem in Japanese grounds. Hopefully we don't see anything like that in the season coming up, and it's a shame that took some of the shine off what was a sort of brilliant day to be a Kyoto supporter and a J-League fan, really. But I think it's definitely a case that it's one person or one small group who are poorly educated at best and have questionable views at worst. So yeah, fingers crossed that doesn't come up. Hopefully this is the last time I'm talking about it this season. And there was one other game, pre-season friendly from last weekend, that I wanted to touch on. It was the biggest one for me because it was the Chibigin Cup match, the Chiba Bank, kind of the prefectural bank in Chiba Prefecture. Every season they sponsor a pre-season match between Jeff United and Kashiwa Reysol, the two Chiba-based J-League teams. It pretty much alternates between being held at Kashiwa Stadium and at Jeff's ground. This season it was Fukuda Denshi Arena, Jeff's stadium, so I decided to go along. Took the whole family with me, for better or for worse. It was a bitterly cold day. The winter's been very mild by Japanese standards in the Kanto region where I'm based, but typically the day that we decided to go on a kind of fairly long day trip, the weather turned really cold. There was a vicious winds whipping around the stadium for most of this game. In any event, it was a good match, and Kashiwa ended up winning 2-0 against their J2 hosts, prefectural rivals. It looked like it was going to be a lot worse though, because both of the goals came in the first 11 minutes. It was the Kenyan international Michael Olunga who got things rolling for Kashiwa in the 7th minute. He kind of latched onto a kind of high through pass from Yusuke Segawa to make it 1-0. It was interesting because just 2 or 3 minutes before that, Olunga had been going mad waving his arms around because he'd made a run in behind the Jeff defence and not had the ball, not been given the ball when he wanted it. He wasn't complaining, and nobody on the Kashiwa side was kind of arguing with each other a couple of minutes later when he did latch onto this ball over the top, and somehow he seemed to have all the time in the world to just stroke the ball past Shota Arai, make it 1-0. And yeah, then 4 minutes later, kind of a weird goal for Kashua to make it 2-0. It's Cristiano, the Brazilian forward, scoring this time as he is kind of want to do. A weird goal in the sense that Cristiano was dispossessed, kind of pretty much on the edge or just inside the Jeff penalty area. But the two defenders involved kind of dithered and made a mess of things. And you know, you can't really dwell on the ball in your own sort of penalty area or anywhere really if you're a defender when you're playing against a guy like Cristiano. And he, you know, quickly muscled the ball, muscled into the defenders, got the ball back, and somehow found himself on the edge of the 6-yard box and just stroked the ball past the goalkeeper. Might be doing him a disservice there. I think it was quite a tight angle that he eventually scored from. And I thought maybe if you're being ultra critical, Jeff's goalkeeper, Arai, could have done better, but he was probably just dumbstruck by the poor defending in front of him and couldn't react in time. So yeah, it was 2-0 after 10 or 11 minutes, and you know, you really feared for Jeff at that point. It could have turned into real hammering and been a horrible sort of home debut for their new coach, Yoon Jong-kwan. But as it was, Jeff just about steadied the ship. They got through to half time without conceding again, and then the second half was pretty even, and it was a good match. Although, you know, you're not sure how much Kashi were really playing at full tilt, considering they were 2-0 up and it was only a friendly game. Yeah, I think probably the biggest talking point of the game came right at the end, where Kashiwa's goalkeeper, and of course Japan national team goalkeeper Kosuke Nakamura, it was a fairly innocuous situation. He was given somebody overhit the back pass to him, and he came herring out of his goal and was at full stretch to try and prevent it from going out for a corner. I think he did. I can't remember now. I think maybe he did actually prevent the corner, but he ended up injuring himself in the process. He was down on the turf without moving for a while, and then eventually had to be stretchered off and couldn't continue. It's taken Kashua ages to announce any kind of injury update on Nakamura, but I think they finally have done it today. And yeah, it's a ligament. It's got ligament damage, but I don't think there's any time scale on his recovery yet. But as a veteran of knee ligament damage myself, not in a professional athlete capacity, but still, yeah, it's going to be at least a couple of months, I think, before he'll be back. He'll be back playing. Luckily, I think the point's been made elsewhere that Reysol have got another brilliant Korean goalkeeper who can deputise, so it might not be too much of a problem for them in the short term. Less high profile, but I think also problematic for Jeff is that their kind of main left-sided attacker, Hirotaka Tameda, who came on as a substitute in this game, also pulled a muscle, I think possibly a hamstring. He'll be out for a couple of months as well, so that might give Yoon Jong-kwan a selection headache going into the first month or two of the J-League season. But yeah, it was a good day out. It was fun. 13,239 fans in the stadium. Jeff will do extremely well to have an attendance as high as that for a J2 game this year. I think they'd certainly be delighted if they had something similar for the J2 opener, which is at home against FC Ryukyu this weekend coming. So yeah, all in all, I think it was a good day. A good day out was had, although it did take a long time for my hands to thaw out afterwards. It was very cold. On Jeff, I know Okinawa Aussie was sort of mentioned on Twitter. He wanted a bit of a Jeff preview ahead of their game with Ryukyu at the weekend. Yeah, I think it's not really anything new to say that Jeff look a bit vulnerable at the back. I think it's very hard to judge them too harshly based on one pre-season friendly where they were playing against a team from a higher division that was clearly better than them. But I think the two centre-backs that they had starting the game against Kashua, which is Iki Arai and a new Korean, young Korean defender, Jang Min-gyu, they didn't really seem to have any understanding together. Neither of them looked particularly comfortable And yeah, I think Michael Olunga looks super fit and super confident, and he sort of gave them all kinds of problems straight away. So yeah, I'm not sure that centre back combination is the best for Jeff, but they're a little bit short in that area, I think, just looking at the squad. So it might be the case that is the centre back pairing that starts the J2 season, but I think there's definitely weaknesses there. I also think the goalkeeper Shota Arai, he in almost every area is probably a safer pair of hands, if you pardon the expression, than Yuya Sato, last season number one, who's prone to mistakes and lapses in concentration, might be the kindest way to put it. But yeah, one thing you're guaranteed with Yuya Sato is he's a good shot stopper, and yeah, I'm not sure how good, based on what I saw last weekend, particularly the second goal, as I mentioned, from Cristiano. I thought maybe Yuya Sato had probably made a better attempt to save it. So I think maybe goalkeeper and centre-back is where the question marks are for Jeff, based on what I saw at the weekend. I also think Koki Yonekura, who played at right-back, in his last stint at Jeff, he was used more as a right-wing or right-sided attacker, and he's been converted to a kind of right-back when he went to play at Gamba Osaka, I suppose, in J1. But yeah, he's definitely more of an attack-minded player, and the player that was playing on the left side for Kashiwa, Yusuke Sagawa, kind of gave him a bit of a torrid time in the Chiba Gen Cup match. I don't think Jason Geria, the Australian defender, was available. He wasn't in the squad for the Chiba Gen Cup game. He I think is a better defensive option, defensively minded option at right back than Yonekura. So yeah, I wonder if he's fit and available. Perhaps, I'm sure he'll be in the squad for the game against Ryukyu on Sunday, possibly even starting if maybe Yonekura will move further forward, because Tameda's out injured for now, but we'll see. Kengo Kawamata as well, the striker who's come in from Iwata, he was on the bench but played in the second half for a while, and I thought he looked pretty good. He looked hungry and sharp, didn't really have too many chances to score or make a mark in the game, but I think he showed enough to suggest he'll be a good option. I don't think he's going to be first choice, because Kleber started, the Brazilian striker Kleber started the Chiba Gen Cup game, and he looked good as well. Perhaps they'll play together in some games, we'll wait and see. I think another player who came on and caught the eye for Jeff was this young, he was a kind of university specially designated player last season, Tommy Amiki, I think operates mainly as a sort of right-sided attacking player. It's a big season for him because he's turned pro now, signed his pro contract with Jeff. I think he played 9 times in the J-League last season and scored once. But yeah, I think he'll be used a lot more, and yeah, he might get a run out in the game against Ryukyu on Sunday as well. So that's a name to watch for you, Jeff. Yeah, one other point then before I wrap this up and let people go about their business, kind of off the pitch news, could be a new segment for the pod. Haven't really discussed it with Stuart though. So Tokyo Verde, they're trying out something new this season. They're actually hosting what the young people call a brand activation event, or pop-up store, I suppose, in central Tokyo, in Shibuya. It has the not very catchy title of Verde Evolution Week 2020. But yeah, inside the Tokyo Hands store on the 10th floor of the Shibuya Scramble Square building in, funnily enough, Shibuya. Yeah, until the 25th of February, so for kind of 11 days, 10 or 11 day period, the kind of temporary event space there has been Verdified. So there's an exhibition of kind of past Verde uniforms, which is pretty cool. They're also selling lots of kind of branded Verde goods. So that was good for me. I went along and picked up a t-shirt for my son, which he's happy with. But I don't think it's for Verde fans only. All of the merchandise there is Verde branded, but just from a J-League and sports marketing point of view, it's quite interesting to to go and take a look. It's a very small space, and it would only take you 10 or 15 minutes to enjoy all the delights it has to offer. But you know, I've lived in Japan for a long time, and it's the first time I can remember seeing any kind of Verdi-related presence in central Tokyo. I mean, you know, for a foreign tourist, for example, it's almost impossible to find like Verdi merchandise to buy, probably in Tokyo before now. And yeah, it's only a limited time event, but I think it created a lot of social media buzz for Verdi fans. And some of the merchandise on sale is exclusive to this pop-up store, and other items are on sale there first before they're on sale through kind of other club official channels or the J-League online store, for example. So I thought it was a really good idea. Another thing I liked was there was a very small kind of history of Verdi exhibition, kind of with photos and text. What was good about that was it didn't kind of whitewash or avoid anything, so it had references to relocating their hometown from Kawasaki to Tokyo, for example, famously an unpopular move that almost killed the club off completely, talking about demotion, you know, relegation to J2. Was mentioned in the text as well, and also the kind of change of ownership when Yomiuri basically pulled out of the club and turned it over to a kind of much smaller operation as it is now. So I thought it was cool that they bothered to include kind of the story of Verdi in this exhibition, but also that they included the kind of warts and all version, which I wasn't expecting. So that Tokyo Verdi Evolution Week, obviously recommended if you're interested in Tokyo Verdi or a Verdi supporter, but even if you're just a J-League fan or you're interested in sports marketing, it's worth going along for 5 or 10 minutes, I think. Speaking of 5 or 10 minutes, I think I'm in real danger of outstaying my welcome here, so I think I'll wrap up this solo J-Talk Extra Time pod for now. I'll very quickly mention that I'm recording this on Sunday the 16th of February, so the first round of Levan Cup group stage games has taken place today. I think the idea was to give the Levan Cup a boost by making it the kind of, you know, the first round of group stage games being the kickoff for the J-League season. I don't know if that's worked. There were some big crowds, but not much buzz, I don't think, for these games. Anyway, there were big wins for a few teams. Kawasaki beat Shimizu 5-1, and there were 17,000 at Todoroki for that game. So Levan Cup fever definitely hitting a different part of Kanagawa Prefecture to mine, I think. Urawa also had a big win. They beat Sendai 5-2 over at Saitama Stadium, at 19,000 in the ground for that one, which is pretty good. Leonardo, you know, their new striker, who's been brought in from Niigata, scored twice. But if you get a chance on YouTube to see a goal that he scored that was disallowed for a foul, where he, it's difficult to describe, but sort of casually backheel volleys the ball into the net, it would have been an absolutely brilliant goal if it had been allowed. But I think the referee decided probably just about rightly that Leonardo had fouled his defender in the build-up, so the goal wasn't given. But yeah, it's an incredible YouTube clip all the same. Seretsu Osaka beat Matsumoto Yamaga 4-1, and Tosu predicted to struggle in J1 by quite a few pundits. I think they lost 3-0 at home to Sapporo. Other games were less of a goal fest, but Nagoya beat Kashima 1-0. I'm sure it's too early to talk about Kashima's boss Dago being under any pressure, but I think after, you know, losing in the Asian Champions League qualifying round as well, he will be under pressure soon if they don't at least start scoring goals, I think. Shonan scored very, very late on over at BMW Stadium to beat Oita 1-0, and Alunga, fresh from scoring the opener against Jeff in the arguably more prestigious Chibigan Cup, he was on the score sheet again. Kashiwa Reysol won 1-0 away at Gamba Osaka with Lunga on target. And yeah, Yokohama FC lost 2-0 at Mitsuzawa against Hiroshima, which my favourite thing about this game was that a Hiroshima fan in the away end brought a banner complaining about Hiroshima's away kit for this season, because I think they're one of three teams that's been given a bog standard Nike template, which is red and white, which are colours that Hiroshima fans are not happy with. And I think sharing away kit being shared between three other teams also something that's annoyed them. So yeah, fair play to him for making a stand in the stand, if you will. Okay, well, I think I've talked enough. In fact, I know I have. So yeah, we'll wrap up this bonus J Talk extra time episode here. Thank you to everyone, or indeed anyone, who stayed with me over 26 minutes. I think I promised myself I'd only do 10, so yeah, never mind. But yeah, hopefully the normal service will be resumed shortly, and Stuart and I will be back hopefully this week to preview the opening round of J2 games coming up at the weekend. If not, then we'll definitely be back to review the action in a week or so's time. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed the show. Yeah, please follow us on Twitter. It's at J2 Canto Bites for me, as always, at sushi_football for Stuart. And yeah, you can follow the big pod, which is at JTalk Podcast, or at JTalk Pod on Twitter, I should say. And yeah, thanks again to the Patreons who support us over on Patreon. You can just search JTalk Podcast Patreon to see that page. Yeah, it's been very pleasing for us, and I know Ben in particular, the pod founder, to see that the number of Patreons steadily rising, and that gives us a lot of confidence that what we're doing is good, or at least entertaining. People are prepared to part with their hard-earned yen or other currencies to support us and keep us going, so that's much appreciated. Okay, but I think that's all for this time, and yeah, hopefully I'll be back with Stuart to talk you through some more J-League news very, very soon. But yeah, have a good week, enjoy your football, and speak to you again soon. Bye for now.